To be here in this beautiful day. Thank you for allowing us to vocalize our praise. And
amen.
So yeah, we're going to look at the first 20 tonight and go over the next from 21 to 33 next week, Lord willing. I was trying to think of what title, because it seems like every week we're trying to be creative with. This chapter kind of breaks down and goes more in depth from the previous chapter, and especially in this portion of it, it kind of goes into how our walk is with God and how we should be towards Christ and towards others as we walk in our faith. But I'll just start with verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and has given himself for us as an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Mm-hmm. When I read this, it stood out to me that it first mentions to be followers of God, but it also puts an emphasis on it on the second verse. While we're in this walk, you know, you could be following Christ and hearing all the things that are going on through the Holy Spirit and stuff like that, but there's a difference between actually following God and actually doing it. That kind of hit me with walking in love, as God is love, as it says in 1 John 4:8. It speaks about how God is love. So we should always continue to walk in that. You know, every thought, every movement should be in love and not other things. And the words, I'm trying to think if I'm pronouncing this right, the word savor stood out to me, because in other versions of the Bible, it gives aroma in it, and savor and aroma. I'm trying to understand why those two would be in there, because kind of I always thought of savor as like eating and partaking of something, and aroma is like a smell. Mm-hmm. So I was like, those two sound like completely different, but actually thinking about it, the word savor means to enjoy it completely. So actually like consuming it and taking every piece of it and completely enjoying it and understanding what is, because this is our food that we should be partaking in, understanding all of it completely and not taking bits of it that we like or anything like that, but actually taking it inside of us. And the word aroma, you know, as I thought of it as a smell, but most people, or some people might know that when we eat, the sense of smell is in play with it. So like if you try to eat something by plugging your nose, it kind of, you don't get that taste at all with it. Yeah. So like, it kind of gave me that connection with that when I was reading it and read it at a different version. It had two different words, but when you partake of it and allow it to be flowing inside, it gives you that aroma, that fragrance. As I've said before, that fragrance comes out of you if you indulge in it all the time, and it just comes out. You know, it's in your walk, and people start to notice like a change in your walk and how you perceive things and how you act in certain situations like you haven't, or like you've done before, but it's different now since that person's actually understanding the word and savoring it. And kind of like a little one thing that I thought of was savoring the Savior mm-hmm. as something that, a little cliche, but something that got related into my heart. But Psalm 34:8 talks about tasting the Lord and knowing that it's good. And that's what popped into my head when I read the word Savior or Savior. But we can continue on to 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. So, in the first couple verses, it tells about how we should be walking. And now it's stepping into some of the things and the things that we should not be partaking in. And I think that these specific words that are being brought out are like sexual uncleanliness and filthiness, because it kind of goes into, as I'll read next week, about marriage and how family should be. It kind of talks about like the beauty of what marriage should be. I don't want to go into that next part of it too much, but I think this was meant to be, like, these words were supposed to be presented in here because it kind of shows what we shouldn't be doing with the gift that God has given us and what God has presented us with sex. It's supposed to be something that's beautiful, and it's supposed to be somehow what God has created for man as like an image of what man and woman can becoming one, as man and Christ becoming as one as well in the marriage. So this is just bringing out how we could use that the gift that God has given us in filthy and negative ways, and it's and it's hitting me pretty bad with this stuff because it's something in the past that I've had to deal with. And thank God that I'm going to Christian recovery for these things. But it just laying on my heart with all this stuff. So it's awesome that I can read it and be able to see the steps that I've been taking with this stuff and allowing them to walk through it. So the word covet stood out to me because I wasn't fully sure what it meant, and I couldn't like really explain it until I went into the dictionary and defined it. But it means to desire, strongly desire something wrongfully. And when I thought of that, it kind of brought me into the idea of lust, of lusting for something, and wanting something that's not of God, but you strongly want it, and you'll do anything for it. And just having that addictive mindset and just craving for it, it's kind of just out of the flesh. You know, nothing that's spiritual that's coming out of it, but it's all in your own doing, your own want. And when you do that, it becomes an idol, as it comes into in the next verse. But I can read that later on. Or in verse 5, that's later on. But, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. So these are kind of like the conversational kind of sins, as if you would call it, that are bringing out from the tongue and are being spoken out to others. Foolish talking and jesting could be like if you want to go into the sexual side of it, it could be just flirting or trying to seduce in that regard, and just like seeing the opposite sex as just somewhat something that you just want, and not fully seeing the whole picture about somebody, just seeing them as their body, or seeing them as not a full human being as God has created us to be. But rather giving thanks. So it's when we're jesting and making these foolish talks, it's not convenient for yourself or convenient for the person that you're even talking to. It's not, you may think that you're bringing up somebody, you know, flirting with them and trying to talk them up in that way, but really it's not lifting them up. It's kind of in a spiritual sense, it's taking them into the wrong direction of seeing things and how you view somebody. It's as you're trying to speak that and you're trying to lift them up, it's kind of bringing their standards down. Mm-hmm. As somebody, you know, looking at them from their outer beauty only and not their inner beauty that's inside. Going to verse 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, no covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And I've never heard of the word whoremonger before. So it kind of, that brought to my attention, so I looked that up, and it kind of, when I read it, it's kind of like describing, if you want to bring it into today's terms, it's kind of like a pimp. But it's kind of like somebody that flaunts about, you know, about having sex as a prideful achievement. Mm-hmm. And it hits me because back when I was like in middle school and high school, I would always, you know, just beef myself up because, like, the things that I used to do and, you know, hooking up with other girls and stuff like that. But but now I'm glad that I see things in a different way, because when I was in that mindset, it would always be to go for the next person, the next person, the next person. It would never be a relationship that would fully satisfy. It would always be something that, you know, just desire to get the phone number and that's it, or phone the hookup and that's it, and not talking to that person again. Or, and even if I did, I would get caught up in finding love in the wrong places, where I would try to hook up with them and then I would catch feelings for them, try to talk into them and stuff like that. But really, when I gave them my first impression of them or myself, it was really just out of love, out of sex and out of the flesh. So that was, I've been in both ways, how a woman wanted to keep pursuing, but like I just thought of them as something lower, and I've had that same feeling as well. So it's never something that's satisfying as you would if you're partaking in God fully and completely enjoying it, because all those are like little bites that of something that doesn't last as long. And when you covet with those things and in that walk, covenant brought to my attention, but I didn't want to combine the two. Because it has kind of like the same beginning of it. But covet is the agreement within the flesh, and covenant is the agreement with God. So there's a complete difference with it, but there's like a connection in terms of like the beginning of the word, but not the connection in terms of the depth or the meaning of it. So it kind of gives like that. I wish I read deeper into like the word, or like the sections of the word, maybe cub or something, but I didn't. Who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God? And so when we do have that agreement with our flesh and having that desire, I'm going to go after this person just for the love of it and just because my body's telling me to do it. It becomes something that's above God. And you really want it so bad that you will push God away and you'll just keep going with it, no matter what the outcome may be. On to verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. I kept going with that theme of the sexual sins that either sex before marriage or sex within marriage, but with other with other partners. And let no man deceive you with vain words. So the word vain means, and there was two definitions for it, but it was cool because I got the, there's a way to combine the two, but the first definition was expressing a high opinion of something, but giving something else little worth. And the second definition for it was, emptiness. So I combined the two, and when you speak in vain words, it's expressing a high opinion or high desire for something, but you're really giving something little worth. But in reality, God doesn't see that as valuable. It's empty. Like, it's not something that God wants for you. So when men, or even if women, try to flirt or try to make you seem to be this, like, glorious and beautiful human being in terms of just sexual thoughts and stuff like that, it's really not, it gives you, it may feel like it's high worth at the time being, and it may deceive you within those things, but really it's, in reality, God does not see that as valuable. It's really giving them not the high amount of worth that they really desire, or they should deserve. For because these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not, yea, therefore, partakers with them. For yea, were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So, with verse 7, it's kind of straightforward. Just don't be partaking in it. And a way to not partake in it is, especially with me, is to not be with those people that have those type of ideals and of the opposite sex, or even in any type of sin that you have a struggle with, whether it's any addiction or lying or anything like that. Just do not be around with those type of people, because you're going to be becoming those people. And that's kind of like one of the main ideas that is brought up in the recovery group, is changing your surroundings. It makes a big impact on who you are, the people, where you are, people's places and things are were the things that I was saying, people, places, and things. If you change those things for a positive note and they connect with this book, then there's going to be big changes in your life.
Mm-hmm.
For yea were sometimes darkness, but now are yea light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So now in this portion of it, it's talking about light and darkness. And when we weren't of partaking in the Lord before, we were, you know, deceived, and our walk was not straight towards God because we couldn't see the full picture, the light as it depicted as, you know, the devil or evil. Or in our flesh, it's darkness. It's not, you can't see where you're going when you're in the darkness. You're just going by your own thoughts and feelings at that moment. And when you're in the light with the Lord, the Lord, you know, shines a path for your feet, and you're actually walking, and you're walking in love, as it says in the second verse, when you're in that light. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Reprove was something I wasn't really sure what that meant. Excuse me. But I looked it up. Reprove, there's a synonym for it, and it's rebuking of that. So if you see somebody in that unfruitful work, you shouldn't be in any fellowship with it, but rebuking it. And I was trying to think of a way to describe this situation, because I feel like you can't go right at them in a way of, like, you're slamming the Bible right up against their head when you see that. But maybe you guys could help later on. I was trying to figure out a way to, like, get that point across, if there is a way to, when you see that, how we should approach that. But when you reprove of it, it means to rebuke. So yeah, if you guys have any thoughts on that later on, that would be... Because I was trying to think about that and ponder around, trying to... Like, I feel like that's a way not to be so strongly about it, but we can see. But for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So to even speak of those things, not even partaking of it, just even having those words coming out of your mouth that are done in secret is... It's something that you shouldn't be partaking in, because as I said before, if you're within those that circle with people and they have those that thought of how they approach women or how women approach men, and you're gonna start thinking that same way and thinking of them as not as actual human beings. But I do not want to keep repeating myself.
Mm-hmm.
But the word manifest is, you know, used to make clear something. So when you're in the darkness and that light hits it, it's made obvious. It's stood out once that light comes out. And, you know, you want to shine that light on it, not because you want to break down that person because you disapprove of them, but you disapprove of their sin. You know, it's like that saying goes, hate not the sinner, but the sin. But you're using that and approaching it by shining light on it and, you know, walking with them in love and showing them the right ways to go about it, not beating them in the head with it, and like bring it out in your own energy and your own anger about it, but approaching them in love and, you know, showing them by actions and by words what it means to be a real Christian and not being a hypocritical one. Wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See them that walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The word circumspectly, I feel like we're... Did you define this word before?
The word?
The circumspectly. I felt like you did
maybe
a while back, but I remember somebody doing it. I thought it was Richard. And that word means to be cautious about your surroundings. And another word that brought to mind is circumference.
Mm-hmm.
It's to look around your full 360, where you're going, what's going on within your life. And that's kind of like a self-check,
mm-hmm,
when you're walking in life, as it is in the recovery group. I think one of the steps in there is to always have that self-check of knowing, you know, every morning, you know, where you might have sinned in the day before, or, you know, just having that daily check of seeing what's happening in your small circle, or even outside of that, you know, what's happening in the body of Christ, you know, what's happening inside the church, how you're communicating within the people, how you're presenting yourself to the people inside the church. So that is being cautious, not in fear, but just, you know, actually being in that mindset of thinking about others as you're approaching others in that walk. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding that the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So, redeeming of the time kind of goes into compensating for something that's done, that something went wrong about it. So you're compensating for that time that's happened in your life, and the time before you've messed up, you followed in that darkness for so much time. When you give yourself up to the Lord, you're redeeming that time. You're taking back what the devil has taken from you.
Mm-hmm.
And because the devil is a liar, he's a thief, and there's a verse on that, but we know that he's a thief, so he's doing things 24/7 to try to take that time away from you, because he knows that the days are coming and he wants every little thing from you, and he wants to use any little trinket, any little thing that you've done before, and try to keep you coming back into that walk that you were before. But once you give yourself up and realize God has given himself up in the form of Jesus, and he's our Redeemer, and realizing that, and we can walk in fellowship with Christ. And to verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts, O Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when I read those two last verses, it brought to my attention, like, even those small things that you do in life, when you have that free time or when you're listening to music, it always, all everything that you do has to be Christ-centered for it to be that complete walk with God. So even if it's, you know, when you're having that free time to even read a chapter, or when you're listening to a song, let it be praise. Let it all glorify God in that moment. Because when those things start to happen, all those small things, you start to, when you're walking, and it's happened to me all the time, like, I start whistling like a song that's really, you know, caught my attention. And or always have, when you do that, you start to make a habit of, you know, listening to the same music and having those gracious thoughts all the time, not of the thoughts that you've had before that darkened and deceived you before. So changing your habits for the good is something that helps us with that walk and walking in love with Christ. Because if we keep doing all these things that help us with that walk, there's going to be an overflow of it, and it's just going to come out of us. And people are going to start to notice that fragrance that was stated before. Because you're just doing everything for the Lord, and they're just going to start noticing it, and that light shining, and that smell, that sweet smelling aroma, that smelling out of you. And always, when you're giving thanks on everything that the Lord has given us. And for Mother's Day, I gave my mother this necklace that was the foundation that was made from is the Ugandan Water Project.
Oh,
so
cool.
Yeah, so it was really cool, the story behind it, because that foundation pours out into the cities in Uganda and those poor neighborhoods, and like builds bridges, and especially that builds like clean water wells for them, because that's like something that's so crucial for them, because they have to walk like 5 or 10 miles to go to the closest river, pick up these 20-gallon buckets and put them over their heads and walk back. And like watching that video and seeing that we can get clean water by turning on a faucet.
Yeah.
And it's just that even something as small as that, having shoes, you know, having socks, having a shelter, having a car, just giving thanks for everything that we get or that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And just having that spirit of gratitude for everything is not, because it could be taken away in a split second.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's, I don't know, I had guys had the Lord talking on you about something and want to talk about something, all for it.
Did you do 18, verse 18? Maybe I was daydreaming.
Oh, I read it, but I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I
didn't get into it.
I didn't go and elaborate on that.
That's cool.
Well, I mean, actually, if you, I actually just think about it, just having that, the idea of not being drunk and blind, but and being drunk with access of the Spirit, and just that. Keep doing all those small things, like I said before, and having that overflow just coming out. It kind of connects with that verse 18, but yeah, I didn't really one.